All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Can you imagine yourself more confident, stronger, physically and mentally? That new you is close. You just need a little challenge. Learn how to join today at langycp.com.
Hello and welcome to the Stephen Tries Podcast, episode 10.
Hey!
Oh, well done. It feels like so many more, doesn't it?
Last
it
time.
Feels like we've run out of ideas. 5 episodes ago. Here we are. Today I'm joined by Thomas Cooney.
Hello.
David Rees.
Hello.
Max Smith.
Hello there.
And our producer Joe, who is he's in lockdown. Well, look, we all are.
So, what?
Only Joe. Boris Johnson has spoken, and only Joe is to remain in lockdown.
Lucky.
Free Joe McGrath.
So we're now, what was it, 4 weeks? Is it 4 weeks?
This is the start of week three, isn't it? The new set.
Yeah.
So it'd be week four.
Week four.
How are you all feeling?
Terrible. I need a haircut. It's been longer than 4 weeks for me because my work stopped like kind of early March. So I don't even know what day it is anymore.
It's Wednesday, podcast day.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, to me, I have no idea what day it is, what date it is. It's one of them. It's just strange. I don't know when the bins have got to be out. I'm just taking it on a limb.
You're just throwing your rubbish on the street now, aren't you?
Yeah, I'll just take the bin out. But like, is it? Oh, this will do. If it don't come, it'll come another day. So
that's it.
Dave,
what a motto to live your life by.
Exactly.
The bin day stress. What do you fill your days with?
I play it.
Well, every day has been day stress.
Same as Max, just play a little bit of games. Eat a load of food. I've got to keep that. I'll tell you what we'll be
fuck
making.
Fuck off! Shut up!
Not that.
I haven't
just
fucking laughed.
In my face.
Throw me in.
There's levels to this day.
Drive myself to sleep.
I meant the gaming part was like you, Max. Sorry, I won't.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Being a fucking loser all
night. Crying to my mum and dad.
Yeah, I've been making cakes, that's been calming me down, you know, this the stress level. Seeing the cake rise, I'm like, oh, if a cake can do it, so can I.
Oh, that's a beautiful idea.
Thank you.
And then you throw it out on the street.
Yeah, I've got
if it's not gone today, it'll be gone tomorrow.
Bitch, what swim, bro's got to eat. So, yeah.
Dave, what cakes are you making?
I made a lemon drizzle cake. Oh, I did it. I'm taking all the glory, but fucking me, ain't here, you won't know. I made like a lemon meringue, right? Oh, not lemon meringue, a lemon drizzle cake.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something with lemons in.
Sorry, yeah. It was lovely. It was mainly sugar, but oh. If you ever had a cake, ask for that.
Is it just a lemon with sugar on?
Yeah, pretty much. But in a cake. Oh, it's beautiful. What about you? What have you been up to keep your sanity?
It's my girlfriend's birthday on Sunday, so I've been trying to think of a present for her.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to clap that. So I've been struggling, and she's got a weird obsession with Stitch out of Lilo and Stitch. Really want to stress that she's nearly 21. Got her a giant Stitch toy.
Nice.
But you know, the way she looks at that,
how big?
I was in love.
Oh wow.
Is it the big Stitch, like the big teddy bear ones?
Yeah.
You don't mess around, do you? That's what you call a present, that.
She said she wanted a big Stitch. I said, go for a jog.
Hey.
the banter I have with her.
And then I hit her.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm having a party.
None of your invited.
Well, same as usual then. Things never change.
Well, Dave, if you want to send one of your famous cakes in the post, that'd be great. Oh, she doesn't like cake. Who doesn't like cake?
That's what I mean.
That's a red flag.
What was it? The question that was put to her the other day, was it chocolate, sweets, cake and crisps?
Yeah.
You can only save one, and she saved crisps.
Yeah, scandalous.
Yeah.
You're a savoury guy. Savoury guy.
I would have saved Chucky.
Yeah, same.
Who are you saving these foods from?
People like you, mate.
A man, mate.
Fucking hell, Dave.
I'm only joking. Love you loads, mate.
He's seen you walk in the shop with a bag for life and gone, oh, no. Trouble's coming. let's head on to our subject for today, which is what you burn your cakes doing. Not burn your cakes. God forbid you do that, Dave. It is sports.
Vindaloo.
Getting in the mood.
Yeah.
What's the... What? It's coming on. Getting all the football.
He's been waiting for
there.
This, hasn't he?
Somewhere over the road. That's West Ham.
Dave, are you just
the sound of music.
He's getting into it.
Dave, are you a sporty guy?
I like my sports. I like my certain sports. I like football. Now, when I like football during a World Cup or the Euros, something like that.
Yeah.
That's when I can get stuck behind it, love a bit of it. Boxing, can't go wrong with boxing. Not a massive fan of UFC though. Too much for me.
It's
like dog fighting in a way, I think.
I love dog fighting.
Which ironically
I prefer cock fighting myself. And not in the traditional sense.
He means penises.
What?
Max, you've beat a few cocks in your time.
Oh, yeah.
What's your favourite sport?
Ah, such a good question. You know me, I am a man of sport. Can't get me
sporting
away from
sporting theme tunes.
Yeah. That's it, yeah. I love watching probably the darts.
Yeah,
I love the darts. Yeah. Feel the Taylor power and all that. Football.
Sorry.
Great knowledge.
His power was being a tailor. The power of making a suit.
just love it. You know, running. Yeah. Usain Bolt and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
Running. Someone's prepped for this podcast. So Tom.
Yes.
You're a sporty guy. Probably the sportiest out of all of us.
Oh, cheers, Steve.
What's your earliest memories of sport?
I was
playing with a hoop and a stick.
First memory of sport, I think, was watching England versus Argentina in the 1998 World Cup.
Ooh, no spoilers, please.
Got a lot of money riding on this, Tom. My life savings.
It's nearly there. So, Tom, you must have witnessed 1966. What was that like?
What about you, Stephen?
My earliest memory was, I think it was, what was it? Oh yeah, I was sat on my dad's lap. He was watching football, and I was eating a hot dog, I think, or he was. Either way,
this story could go anywhere. keep on nibbling, lad.
Eating what I believed was a hot dog.
Keep going.
You don't put mayonnaise on a hot dog, do you, Dad?
Oh, Sporty Smith's woken up.
Either way, the point was, I thought it was tomato ketchup on my face. I was having a nosebleed, so.
Oh, God.
Hate it when that happens.
Just the excitement, you know.
Gotcha.
Is that your team?
What, the excitement?
Is your dad's team your team?
Liverpool, yeah. That's that. He's got a tattoo. I wouldn't go that far with it, though.
Of Liverpool or just...
Of the live bird, yeah, the Liverpool badge.
How's Liverpool's situation kind of, featuring for you at the moment? Because obviously could be impacted by this COVID-19.
They're going to win the league regardless.
I think you definitely think it's going to happen.
Who's going to make more of a fuss than the local fans?
No, they deserve it, to be fair. They've done well. Yeah. I haven't really watched it, but what I've heard.
Yeah.
I think the Eredivisie cancelled their season, I think. Was it today or yesterday? Holland.
Don't care.
So,
That's the Dutch for you. Quitters.
Here's hoping.
I'll tell you what I've got. They're cancelling the Euros. Now that really grinded my goat.
That would have been good.
Yeah.
Wasn't that meant to be an anniversary? Was there not an anniversary of football this year?
Do you know? Maybe. I might be right.
Was that the Olympics? I don't know. There's some sporting thing.
Oh, no, there was a Euros, which is every 4 years, and there was an Olympics as well. Both have been postponed till next year.
So, gutted, mate. Yeah. Absolutely gutted. There's one for you. Bet you didn't know this, right? Olympics was around since the Greek times. Well,
yeah, we knew.
I knew that.
That's
blew my mind.
Very, very common knowledge that.
They invented it, didn't they? Yeah.
Good old.
Do you know the Olympics? They do sports in it. Crazy.
Yeah. Wonder what they would have been like, eh?
And I think in that the ancient Olympics that Greece founded, the competitors competed naked.
I think
tradition shouldn't be broken.
Yeah. Absolutely. The modern games has lost its way.
If I don't see Usain Bolt's wang running down the running around the track,
that's not right.
It's the Euro's 60th anniversary this year.
Oh right.
Which
so
is
if you were a sprinter, you'd get an erection, wouldn't you? In case it came to like who crossed the line first.
It'd be better for the aerodynamics, I reckon.
Yeah.
So like if you've got a flop on and it's a big one, like it's the aerodynamics ain't gonna be
Can't
all right.
Relate. Me and my pit dick and me at the finishing line looking smug as fuck.
Gives him a head start, if you know what I mean.
That's top class. Of course, Max is used to finishing within 10 seconds anyway. Sexy bouncer there for me.
Has your dad been talking to you again, yeah?
No, he hasn't since we did the podcast. So what we're going to do is move on to sports day, something everyone can relate to. Dave, you obviously grew up on a farm in your school.
Yeah, we used to have to race the sheep. Who could do the longest on all fours? All shit like that. One of them was you had to herd the sheep into like a gate, and the quickest team to do that one.
I don't even know if you're joking.
Is this
now?
Real?
Yeah.
Ride the pig. That was a good one. That was my favourite.
Yeah. My teacher knew that far too well.
What was your go-to sport on sports day?
Sack race. Apparently, I was really good at jumping forward with the sack, so I started that. But then the teacher was like, "You're in year 11 now, David. You can't be doing the sack race. That's a year 7 thing." So
what?
I had to change it up to the long jump. You know where you jump furthest. And my mate.
Did you still get to use the sack?
Yeah. No. After year 7, you're not allowed to use it anymore. Ridiculous, isn't it?
That's chaos. Yeah, so did you compete against all years, or was it just your year group?
Just your year group at the time.
Oh.
Yeah. So, hang on. But to be fair, all the points got calculated up as a team, as a whole.
Yeah.
Thing, if that makes sense.
So what like colour or group were you in?
I was. We had Tudor, Normans, and Stuart, and I was a Stuart, which is green.
Stuart was just on his own in the back.
And then there was Stuart.
Yeah, you're on your own. Get back there.
Yeah. Can I play? Fuck off, Stuart.
Yeah, I was green. They were the shittest. We always got we done terrible. Even at primary school, I was part of the squirrels, and I thought they were the bees because that was our school's logo, a squirrel. I was like, we've been chosen right for a reason, but we were shit and all.
Squirrels, the most athletic.
We finished behind Stuart.
He's always in his bloody sack.
Max, do you have any anecdotes from sports day?
Yeah, getting picked last. The old egg and spoon race.
You're getting picked for sports day.
I was like,
even the teachers are laughing at him.
Cheers, Dave. Make an tally here of all the times you mugged me off.
I'm sorry.
Feel like a right Stuart right now. Sports Day was not something I never competed in because
you have to,
you know.
Well, Sports Day. You know, so it was a day event, and you would have kind of each year group would go one after the other. I can't remember how they did it, whether the whole school was pretty much off for the whole day. But so there were certain disciplines, certain races, and in your form, you would nominate, you know, you would sort it out yourselves who competed at what. So you didn't have to compete.
Yeah.
I imagine there were quite a lot that didn't.
At primary school, we all did it where everyone had to do at least one or two events. And being the Heffalump I was, the tug of war was, you know, that was my chance to shine. basically, in year six, we'd had a good 3 years previous of building up this tug-of-war war between the Blues and the Yellows. Yeah. I was the Blues. The Yellows had some really high cholesterol students, so they dominated for the past 2 years.
But we had Stuart.
due to the way you had to balance it out, we had a couple of really weak kids on ours, and I was fuming at them. I was sat there eating their packed lunch. Going,
you will never get this.
You got to want it.
you've got to warm up, guys, come on. But it got to lunchtime and we were playing heads and volleys on the playground, and we were doing first to five. Whoever loses does Tunnel of Death. If you don't know what Tunnel of Death is, basically you walk through and there's two lines either side of you just kicking, so you basically get booted in the legs as you walk through this tunnel.
They're not kicking the ball, just kicking you.
Yeah. So anyway, it gets to the fifth goal, someone banged it in, and then the lad who was on our team for the tug of war did the Tunnel of Death.
Was he one of your key people?
No, not at all. Okay. And he got absolutely obliterated. Poor lad. I didn't take part in the booting. I'm still celebrating my goal.
He left his packed lunch on the side.
So he got really badly injured and couldn't compete in the tug of war. I was like, oh no. But, you know, secretly I was chuffed because we got one of the big guys in, or gals.
Well, no, but what was it?
You don't have to
be politically correct. Just be honest.
And during the, like, we had a big, for our form period, it was basically us getting all told off for doing this Tunnel of Death. Someone was like, Stephen took part in it. I stressed so much that my only part was scoring the goals. I think I paused after that to try and get some acknowledgement. Like, great goal, mate. But I didn't do the Tunnel of Death. Anyway, long story short, we won the tug of war, and it was it was my greatest sport achievement.
Proud of you.
Cheers. I then competed in the relay race and let the side down. I don't know who agreed to let me run the last leg of it. We were well in the lead until I got on the bat off. I told them, get an ice cream man at the end. Just Dave, you are our resident detective.
Yeah.
We're going to have, I think, two truths and one lie this week.
Two truths, one lie. Okay.
Shall I go first?
Yeah.
Be rude not to.
Okay, Dave. I lost my first competitive badminton game to a dwarf.
With what, sorry?
I lost my first competitive badminton game to a dwarf.
To a dwarf, funny enough. Okay.
Max?
Hello. I have won the bleep test 3 times in a row.
Well, I think I know.
Remember,
that
Dave, try and spot the lie.
And a poor performance in a school football match was so poor it earned me an after school detention.
Yeah, these are all insane, to be fair.
Fuck off. Damn. Yours is out of the fucking realm of possibility, Max. That could never happen. Not on a week of Sundays. I've heard some fucking batshit things in my life.
But this is mother girl. Right, okay, so Steve, did you know this dwarf?
I didn't know.
You didn't.
When I locked eyes I knew I was in for a game. No, it was embarrassing because I was so nervous for this. I was on the badminton team for the first time. Yeah. We had our full kit, you know, I'd got all the gear. And then I was like, who am I playing first? You want to warm up into it. And I was playing this this female dwarf who I just looked and went, oh no, I can't win here. Quite literally.
See, I would have gone the opposite way.
I was that nervous that I was just awful. My dad was sat there watching me, you know, look at my son go.
That's my boy.
What a guy. Oh, okay. Did you play it off like that you let her win, or?
Not at all. No, I was so ashamed of myself. Not that she was a good player, to be fair to her.
Yeah. But, did she go far after?
I don't know, mate. I didn't follow a career. Basically, the worst part was, at the end of the game, you usually shake hands, but you do it over the net. I just stuck my hand under the net.
How old was you then?
I was about 15.
15, okay.
Can I say, I hadn't quite grown as much as I have now. So
small 15. Yeah, okay. All right, then, so, Max.
Hello, mate.
Three bleep tests in a row.
Bleep tests, that's the thing where you run. And
run,
it goes
and
beep,
up,
beep,
bleep,
beep,
bleep.
So, yeah, you're having a great time.
He's researched this.
How old was you?
How old were you in year 8? I don't know.
Oh, remember. Year 8. Well,
13,
okay.
14, 15.
And was this in England or Spain?
This was in England.
England, okay.
Don't know if they do the bleep test in Spain.
How did you win? That's what I want to know. Like, obviously through running.
Just by using my legs, mate.
Yeah, okay. And how many students were there? Is it a full class?
How many students? Well, in a way, they're all studying me. And there were about 15, 20?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but quite
a bit.
So Max, obviously with the bleep test, people drop out, don't they?
Like, yeah.
At the end, when you won, were you just like,
did
you know,
you stop straight
were on? You blitzing it on your own, or was
do you know
what
it was?
Close,
it
or
was
were you just running.
Gordo es muy rápido.
It was as soon as the last person dropped out.
El Rapido.
You done. Okay.
Speedy Gonzalez, no! Fiction come to life!
Tom, what was Hello? So bad about your performance that you got a detention then?
Okay, so we were playing a rival school from just down the road in a school match. And we were completely outclassed. It was really bad, but it was. I think we must three down, four down early, and the game was just. It was just a complete write off. There was a few bad performances, so we got hauled in the next day, and the teacher kind of like went through us one by one and kind of rated us on a
looks.
Yeah, well, because he'd refereed the game, so he didn't. He was kind of obviously not. He was impartial at the time. And he kind of saved it for the next day.
Yeah.
And I think there was about four of us that scored so poorly that we were stuck in after school detention.
So was the
because it
head
was
teacher,
unacceptable. And sorry, go on.
Was the head teacher like a big fan of football, so that's why you got it, or just? Cause
well, he was the PE teacher.
What kind of crap?
But it was a home game, and he refereed the game.
Right, I see.
So you could see him. He was seething,
raging
as every goal went. I think we ended up losing about 9-1.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah. So I was after school detention for.
Did you realise it was unfair at the time, or did you like I deserve this? This is a bad performance, or.
It was one of my first games for school, and I think a bit of a shrinking violet performance, to be honest. I was playing on the wing. It was all going wrong, and I think I just hid, really.
Okay.
So yeah, it was poor. You know.
Was you chose for the following year for the same team, or?
I think I had a small break from the school team after that for a couple of games.
Okay. Right. Okay, then. Now, two truths. I'm going to go Steve as a truth and Max's as a truth. Yeah. Did I put it?
Unbelievable.
David Rees.
What's that I can't smell? Oh, it's a brand deal. Thank you, Beer 52, yet again sponsoring the podcast. Round of applause, guys.
Hey,
never mind round of applause.
I want a round of craft beers. And thanks to Beer 52, that's all possible. How does 8 craft beers for the price of a London pint sound? All you need to do is go to www.beer52.com/Stephen and cover just £5 and you'll get your first case of 8 globally sourced, fresh as can be, take a drink as I say that, Tom.
Yeah, fresh.
Fresh as can be craft beers delivered right to your doorstep. Of course, you'll probably have to step over some bins if you're going to Dave's. What does a fiver get you nowadays? Max, what does a fiver get you nowadays?
You can get a rotisserie chicken from Tesco.
How many pasties does a fiver get you?
I feel like we should say things that are good deals.
Well, the thing is, if you wait until after 9 o'clock, you can get a rotisserie chicken for a lot cheaper. So £5 is pushing it. Pasties, well, they're about £2 each, so 2.5.
That's not going to fill you up, is it, mate?
Not at all.
Nah.
Well, for the price of one measly London pint, you could be sipping, and I say sipping, 8 totally different craft beers, sourced and curated by the good folks at Beer 52. And they are good. Mm. I've met a few of them. Not recently, because of the lockdown. They'll drop it right at your door. See, don't drop it, though, because it's a glass of bottles. So you don't even need to leave the house. Of course, you will when you're trying to get them in. Otherwise, neighbours might steal
them.
And enjoy your lovely Korean beer. If you're looking to stock up on beer, now's your chance. Because this is going to go on for another 3 weeks. But you know what? I'm going to have a good time. Lockdown, lock in, strap in.
What's it called? I might order myself some now.
Hey, Dave, great question. That's www.beer52.com/Stephen. How do you spell Stephen? With a PH. Each month, they send the case of craft beer from a different part of the world. Recent themes have included the Alps, New Zealand, the USA, Ireland, Korea, and Germany.
That's actually pretty good, to be fair. I might do it.
How'd you say thank you in German?
Yeah. Guten Tag.
That'll do.
Yeah.
Tom, what are you sipping on there?
This is a New England IPA, Atlantean.
Is New England near Boston?
But this is from the Irish Brewing Company.
Boston.
So it's
it's
a style, isn't it? It's a style of IPA. And it's
that looks like, very nice.
Hoppy and delicious.
I've got a Mosaic IPA, 6.5%. Hello, something. my hydration station is getting wavy over here.
That looks nice and hoppy, that. Is it nice?
And hoppy.
Yeah. And delicious.
If you do
not
change,
to mention hoppy.
If you do change your mind, you can pause or cancel your account anytime you like. That's good. Because we've all made mistakes in our time. But with these, if you go, hold on, I can't afford it this week, which you should be able to, if you can't afford £5.
I've made a terrible mistake.
You've bought too many rotisserie chickens.
then you can cancel anytime.
Before 9 o'clock.
Nice, Tom.
Good, Tom. Yeah. You've had too many of those.
I have.
You're mouthing off.
They're too good.
Too many, okay? Not that it's their official tagline, but you can't drink too much. that's what my uncle always said. Bless his soul. Not his liver, though. Just go to www.beer5252.com/Stephen to get your first case of 8 beers for £5. I've got to say, I love a fruity drink, and they do cater to my needs.
Mm.
Tom, what are you?
This is a New England IPA.
Yes,
similar to yours, probably not as fruity, but it's it's interesting. You don't get these in the shops. These are not the kind of beers you'll see on the shelf.
Dave, if you could get a beer from anywhere, where would it be?
Most likely, I would have said rather New England.
Yeah.
Or a New Zealand beer. I've never tried a New Zealand beer, so...
Neither have I. But thanks to Beer 52, that dream can come true. Thank you very much to Beer 52 for sponsoring the podcast and for putting your name to this shite. Thank you. Thank you, Beer 52.
Thank you. Thank you.
Shit. So, of course, a staple of everyone's sporting life is PE. We've all been there. We've all done it. Dave, what was your PE like?
I was all right, actually. My PE experience was okay. I was I was at first the last pick for everything because I was like crap at everything else. But when it comes to football, I was last picked. Then I showed my skills in goal, and then after that, I wasn't last picked ever again. So my PE experience was very good. I enjoyed my PE experience.
Yeah. Well, did you ever have to do like something unconventional, like a sport that was out there?
I don't know. Javelin. Now, that always confuses me as a sport. So we used to have to do javelin.
You did it naked, didn't you, Dave?
In a kilt. That's all we wore.
In our school, Oh, God, sorry, Dave.
No, I forgot what I was going to say.
In our school, we had to do... in year seven, we had to do dance. And this was pre-High School Musical, so I wasn't really on board. But I was doing the Hacker, where we all were.
Pre-High School.
High School Musical. I was in high school. We did that. That was quite weird. We did... the main thing about my PE classes were just trying not to get your pants pulled down by other students, is. Because the teacher that did that was, was sacked.
Did you ever get bagged in the changing room, Max?
Bagged?
Yeah, that's what we used to call it.
We called it dekecked.
Bagged.
No.
Blasted.
Nobody could pull my chastity belt down. No one's getting a peek of these goods.
Dave, did you ever get your pants pulled down?
That was the javelin we were throwing, mate.
Only this one time. No. We didn't really do that.
They used to pull them back up. Dave, for God's sake.
There was got a builder's man, we can't have that.
That's not the sack race, Dave.
Oh, lovely egg and spoon.
The wrong sack, Dave.
The weirdest thing about my school was probably the fact that one of the teachers openly called one of the groups, do you know, like the lesser ability, the Mong group.
Jesus.
Was a different time.
Yeah. Well, not even that. Yeah, it was
a couple of years ago.
Yeah. As the chair of the Mong group, I was furious. I said, at least the Spracker Squad. No, my helmet was getting in the way of the crowd. Yeah, that was bizarre looking back. PE was a strange one.
Did you have the, like if you forgot your PE kit, you'd have the clothes that you'd have to wear? Like the skanky, dirty, scummy stuff, yeah.
Well, did you ever have it in the...
That was...
Our teacher said, you're doing it naked and nothing at all.
Well, in primary school, did anyone ever have to do it in their underpants or just in their underwear? If you forgot your PE kit, you just have to... Yeah. That was a thing, right?
Yeah, it was a thing.
What?
I was homeschooled as well.
Daddy, please. No, my shorts are upstairs.
Yeah, you'll do your squats and you do 1,000 of them. No, get on with it.
God forbid you ever forgot your underwear.
That explains how we had the fucking bleep test for 3 years.
Keep going, son.
Your nan's dropped out, it's just you now, boy. Be careful, you've come out a bit there.
Don't kick me, Dad, please.
Were you on any school teams in sports?
I was on football. We had form teams that we didn't compete against other schools. So I was on form team for football, for basketball. I represented school at the long jump.
Oh yeah.
And the triple jump.
Nice.
And we had like a kind of sports day where we got together with the rival schools and stuff.
Just
did some stuff in that.
Dave, I remember you telling me about you used to do boxing.
Yeah, when I was younger. Yeah, I used to do a bit of boxing. Never really that good. I didn't think I was, but...
Why did you start doing it?
Why? Just because, I don't know, I just like being in a fight, really. I was quite an energetic. I was like, come on, let's do it. I used to get a good adrenaline rush.
Gelatin rush.
Yeah, the back of every bow. I was raring for it. That was Mike Tyson's problem.
I was really skinny and small as a kid, so I was like, my dad went, if you're gonna do it, learn how to, I suppose. Okay.
Haven't you got a good story about a friend doing MMA?
Oh yeah. Well, he's not even a friend. He's Cameron's mate, and he was he's really into MMA, and he'd been building up to this sort of an exhibition fight for charity, and the person he was supposed to fight, it was massive, dropped out, not out of fear, and then the sort of main coach of his MMA said, oh, I'll fight you instead, because it's for charity, it's an exhibition, and there's a video of it as well. Bless him, he was really pumped up for this, and he gets in there. And he sort of keeps throwing these kicks, and the coach just sort of isn't going to be embarrassed in front of the people watching it. So he just sort of catches it and knocks him over. But he's just moving around, and he throws a kick. I think he dislocates his knee or something.
Oh.
Without even landing on the coach, and just falls to the floor.
No.
About 2 minutes in. But yeah, it looked painful, but it was just quite amusing to watch. Because of how he'd built it up, I guess. But yeah, that was a shame for him. Going back to the school teams, I'd always wanted to be in one of the school teams for sports, you know, because you look at Glee and see the jocks and all the chicks they get.
You're right on that badminton team.
That's American football. The badminton doesn't have quite the same pull as you walk down there. Just swirling a shuttle on your finger. Hey, ladies. with your court-proof shoes that have got a beige sole, you know, that doesn't turn as many heads. I was on the badminton team. They're a strange group, badminton players. It's quite fun to play until it gets competitive, and then it's just the worst people ever.
You know, in American TV shows and stuff, you know, you see these people hiding their heads when the jocks are walking down the corridor. Yeah. For you, it was the dwarves, wasn't it?
That was athletic. I really want to stress athletic dwarves.
Get a net in between us now.
you could just walk under, to be fair. That was embarrassing for me. I'm still not over that. No, I am. She was good.
Fair play, you know.
I wish I could say that.
Not everyone's lost to a dwarf before, so you have that under your belt, Steve.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I also have that under my belt. In this... so...
What about you, Max? Have you ever been on any sports teams at school?
If you're talking about sport of the mind, I used to go to the chess club.
No, we're talking about athletic sports.
No sports of the mind. We have no place this week.
No.
Come on,
no, of course
Mr. Bleep, Mr. Serial Bleep Test winner.
Yeah.
Let's move on to a segment that I like to call. We'll go for Dave Raves.
Right.
Always well researched.
Dave, what's fucked you off this week?
Right. Pisses me off about sports. Are you ready for this?
He's stalling.
Tennis.
Tennis.
Go on.
Okay.
Tennis. Why is it? Why do they say 15, 30, 40? What's that all about?
It's illogical, Dave.
Scoring system. What? What's that mean?
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, no, exactly. You're on the same wavelength. It's like 15, 30, and then you think 45.
Yeah.
Is it 15, 30, 45? But no, they go to 40. That pisses me off. I was reading something.
Apparently, in America, tennis players score worse in maths because they're used to point scoring system that they've been brought up using. So it affects their maths.
It is weird. Well, what I also don't like about tennis, especially Wimbledon, is when you see how they treat the ball boys and girls.
And the towel people.
Throw the towel at them. Like these poor kids getting a sweaty fucking cloth thrown over the face. And they get yelled at if they move a little bit. And they even have to run around for the Hawkeye people. And they choose the oldest people in the world to be a fucking Hawkeye. Cataracts. Was that in or out?
I don't know, to be honest,
Mr. Federer. I can't see
And another thing for tennis is, what's with all the noise? I don't need to hear that.
I hear it enough from my mum's bedroom.
You don't even live with her now, because that suggests that
you... I know, that's a weird thing. She's always on Zoom to me. Oh, I'm going to stop a Zoom chat with my son.
No! She could just hang up.
No need for the noise.
God damn it.
Another thing is American football. Now, American football is called American football, but they don't use the ball for their foot.
They don't use the ball for their feet.
Well, they do.
They use their hands.
Yeah,
it's predominantly. Yeah,
they do have punting and kicking, but it's not like even rugby union. They kick it a lot more than American football.
Mm. I think that was initially called rugby football. I think because it evolved from football.
That might be Australian one.
It started. I think William Webb Ellis was the first person to pick. I don't know if the story is accurate, but he, in a really muddy game of football, I think it was in Bath or something, he picked the ball up and ran with the ball, and that's where the game of rugby came from.
What, and they just allowed him to do that?
He's not a genius, he's a fucking
cheat.
What's
he doing?
It might not be accurate. I think that's as the story goes.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Dave.
Yeah, but
I've been to an NFL game in America, and it was the weirdest atmosphere because all the fans are integrated into. There's no like division, and
no hatred.
There was supposed to be it was a derby game between New York Giants and Philadelphia Eagles, and there was no rivalry there. It was just a little bit of elbow, maybe like
soccer. They just do it differently.
I went to the LA Galaxy with Steven Gerrard. Right, don't like to brag. But the fans, right, they're having barbecues outside the stadium. They do that for some reason as well. And then they were down at barbecues, but you see people walking in with green and blue and they're having barbecues together. I was like, oh, great. If that was ever seen, that green bloke would be, his face would be on the barbecue, someone would be bottled over in the other corner. Yeah. I was like, if someone's not getting beaten the shit out of, I don't want to watch it, it's a shit list. I had a strap on my...
Have you seen a football chance? Exactly. Have you seen a compilation of American soccer teams doing the chants? There's one where they're chanting, barbecue! Barbecue!
And do the fans have a brand deal? Beer 52! 52! Beer 52! Yeah, they are a strange
really bunch. Cheesy. Yeah.
But hey, awesome. They're having fun.
Yeah.
Well done for Dave Raves there.
That's
1-0 to Dave over tennis there. Well, 15-0 as I like to call it. Let's move on to speaking of fan experiences, what's been your best and worst moment as a fan of sport?
Well, obviously, I'm a United fan, so I've got lots of good memories from the early 2000s.
Quite hazy now, aren't they?
And now it's, I don't know. But I'm a fan of football, though, so I kind of when I travel around, I like to go to different football games. I've been to the Eternal Derby in Belgrade, went to the Serbian Cup final, Red Star versus Partizan. That was an experience.
Nice.
Good experience?
Yeah,
it's surreal. Like the army were on the streets. It's renowned for being the most intensely fought kind of derby in the world. I mean, some of the stories, like, because they have really prominent ultras, they're very kind of a hooligan sects of the fans, to the point where sometimes at the games it's just the ultras. I think for away games, no other fans travel because it's too dangerous. I think in a game a few months earlier, Partizan were losing the match, and so just set fire to the stadium.
It burnt all.
So
you can just imagine you're there in your Wigan top.
Barbecue!
Dave, have you been to any weird sporting places? Apart from LA Galaxy.
Yeah, I went to a baseball game in America. That was pretty interesting.
Are they dead long?
Yeah, they're very long. But we got very lucky because we must have, like, one of the rarest games ever. The whole entire time, we went to see the Chicago White Sox or Red Sox. And then the Toronto Blue Jays. And the whole time, the White Sox were getting their ass kicked until the final one, and they smashed it and they won. It was like, what? 4 hours they were losing for. And then so it's
like,
come back
yeah,
at
it's
the
like
end.
On average, the games are like 2.5-3 hours long, but the actual game is only in play for like 20-odd, 30 minutes.
But
like the actual in-play game is
minimal.
Only like 20-odd minutes. It's ridiculous.
Max, after the roaring success of last week's IMAX, have you got something for us again?
Well, today, Stephen, I thought I'd take it upon myself to review the hit movie Bend It Like Beckham.
Oh, wow. A great sporting film. One of my favourites. Well, it was, actually. Little known fact about this film was I was actually cast in it, not as Jess Minder, we saw someone else and maybe she'll do. I was actually one of the friends of the family.
Really?
I might have on my laptop here actually. There was a scene that I was in. It's on the DVD extras, but they cut it from the main film, frustratingly.
Oh, right.
Don't suppose you want to hear it, do you?
Yeah.
Didn't ask to be good at football. Guru Nanak must have blessed me.
Bit cocky.
Anyway, there was a scout from America there today, and he's offered me a place at a top university with a free scholarship and a chance to play football professionally.
That doesn't sound dodgy. Am I right, Nan?
I really want to go.
Well, you won't be the only one firing shots there, you know, because of the gun laws. Never mind.
And if I can't tell you what I want now, then I'll never be happy whatever I do. You let her leave her sister's wedding to go to a football match.
Well, maybe if you put some money behind the bar, I would have stayed. Tight gits.
And that's why she's ready to go all the way to America now.
Well, it's not that simple. She needs to apply for a visa first. Yeah, there's a lot of steps, actually.
And those English cricket players threw me out of their club like a dog.
Yeah, you shouldn't throw dogs.
I never complained. On the contrary, I vowed that I will never play again. Who suffered?
Not the team, mate. You had more ducks than a fucking pond.
I don't want her to make the same mistakes that her father made of accepting life, accepting situations.
Who's playing that music?
I want her to fight.
Oh yeah, forget football. UFC's where it's at.
And I want her to win. Because I've seen her playing. She's brilliant.
She's average.
I don't think anybody has the right of stopping her.
I think the defenders do. Maybe read the rules first, yeah?
That was one scene.
Very good.
That was
a very good scene.
Hey, well done.
No worries.
Well, they let me in. I was on set and everything, but they just didn't go with it, which is frustrating, you know, when you put your heart and soul into a piece.
Yeah,
I did a lot of improv there.
That's the way it goes, though, isn't it? You know, there's so much footage and they only...
They didn't think it sort of worked with the rest of the film.
No.
Which is annoying.
You can see why, though.
But I thought my witty quips sort of added something to it, but never mind.
Never mind.
So, Max, I don't actually want to talk about Bend It Like Beckham, if that's okay.
Yeah, no,
can we leave? Can we leave?
Of course.
That? Sorry.
Do you know, I didn't realise you had
any comments, Max?
Yeah, no, I did. Now, as a football fan, that's my main sport.
Yeah.
My greatest ever moment was watching Liverpool when how old was I? 10? 10 years old. No, 9 years old. They won the Champions League, 3-0 down. Max, you don't know football, but
You love a great story. 3-0 down at half time to the best team in the world. This plucky bunch of scousers. they somehow, you know, managed to come together and turn it around and win the game and ultimately win the trophy.
They drew the game, didn't they? And then they kind of, you know, the lottery of penalties, I guess.
What are you drinking now? Bitter. So they won that. But then 2 years later, I was in tears watching them lose the final. Yeah, that's the emotion of sport.
Yeah.
Max, have you ever cried at a sporting event?
Weirdly enough, yes.
Go on.
Daddy, please.
Okay. It's weird that you said that because that's closer than you'd think. My dad is a big football fan. He took me to go see Portsmouth Football Club when I was about 5, I think, and I spent the whole game crying because of the noise and stuff like that. So my hatred of football comes from a very deep place. I remember I got there was a raffle at school. And I put my name.
Yeah,
it's like a quid sort of thing. And I got tickets to go see Portsmouth play at Fratton Park again. And I just binned them off. You know, I don't
cry.
I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to cry as a 12-year-old boy.
Did you see that? Did you see that famous Pompey fan at the game, the one with the bell and the?
No, but he's apparently he stinks. Apparently,
wouldn't surprise me.
He looks like that all day. God, yeah.
Somebody was sitting three. I knew somebody, and they sat three seats away, like rows behind him. And it's pungent. It's just the smell of a hard-working fan.
Yeah, yeah.
That's grim. That's awful. Dave, have you ever been emotional about sport?
I usually get a bit tearful after boxers hug after a fight. I've always think, that's just nice, a sweet moment.
That annoys me.
I like all that.
No, that's my Dave Raves. Because usually they've spent the past 6 months slagging each other off, having all these fake fights at press conferences. And then especially Tony Bellew, he's bad for it. They'll slag him off and then as soon as it's done, he's there hugging and kissing him. I don't know if the Sky cameras picked it up, but I was actually there at his last fight. I grabbed him by the scruff of the neck and went, "Pick a side, mate." he said, "Yeah, mad respect for that." Not his last fight because he got knocked out,
Fight before. I think it was the Hay one, wasn't it? I think it was.
That was it.
When you got him.
Yeah. No, that's the only time I get emotional. Or if England was to ever win the World Cup, I reckon I'd cry.
I used to get a bit more emotional when I was younger. When you lose games or big games, I just get upset about it. Now, not so bad, but. A couple of summers ago, when we did lose the World Cup semi-final, I was devastated.
Croatia.
I was really drunk, which probably didn't help.
they'd had an easy run.
They absolutely. They completely didn't deserve it at all. They didn't play well. Well, they didn't have a particularly good tournament. They were okay, easy run, but 1-0 up. It was so high. I was at the Castlefield Bowl, and it was like loads of people there, and the train was going over the bridge and the driver was staring out of the train with his eyes on the
Max, sorry, a question about your story. Is ringing your bell and stinking, is that a Portsmouth thing then? Joe just cut that out and stick it into another clip.
Say that again. Do you remember 10 minutes ago when you said
from the last week when we did the music one? what I'm interested in is our special guest this week, Max? I believe he's a neighbour of yours, isn't he?
Yeah, he's just outside. I've got the letter here, so yeah, I'll go grab him. I've got things to do anyway.
Mate.
Right,
I'll...
bye, Max.
Bye,
bye, Max. Yeah. See you a bit,
new
mate.
Favourite segment. Bye, Max. So, Tom and Dave. As you probably know, we've had a lot of guests, but unfortunately they haven't quite been as good as we expected.
Yeah.
However, this week I've pulled some strings. I've been on the phone to Manchester City. That's right. I said, I'd love to speak to some of the coach staff. They said, hey, we've got the main man himself. So, are you there?
Hello, mate. Yes. Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Yes. I'm the.
Who's this?
It's me, Brian. I'm the Manchester City coach driver. The main man on the scene.
Brian, I'm very sorry. There's been a mistake here. I thought we were getting Pep Guardiola.
I'm looking. Oh, well,
at least
you're kidding,
a top
man.
Member of staff.
Brian, I'm sure you're a great guy. Unfortunately, we've had a bit of a hiccup on our end. I feel bad. Brian, thank you very much for coming on the podcast today.
Well, it's a pleasure. No, I'm doing this for my good neighbour, Max. You probably know him. He dropped by a letter to me yesterday saying I need the coach for Manchester City. Man with a bit of pep, it says.
but Brian, I apologise on Max's behalf.
It's really unfortunately worded. That.
There's been a terrible mistake.
He looked me in the eye.
Dunce.
Well, maybe that could be true, but he looked me in the eye and he said, "I need the driving force behind the Manchester City squad."
Brian, that's terrific, but we've got to move on to other segments. Thank you very much for.
No, you're kidding, man. Brian. I've got my kids in the other room, and I've been saying to them all bloody day, I'm going to be on the Stephen Tryers podcast. This is the happiest they've ever been.
Brian, I'm so okay, Brian. Well,
you are on the podcast.
Yeah.
Well, no, but no, they
you can't take that away from you.
I've seen Zoe Diak. She's been on here for weeks. Minutes, hours.
We'll have an interview with you. Don't worry. Brian, you're not working at the moment. How are you finding that?
Well, as a coach driver, I'm used to big breaks.
Yeah, very good.
Big breaks. Yeah.
Awful.
sorry, you broke up a bit. I think these headphones are not working properly. Did I hear you say
Brian?
No, sorry, Brian. Did you just
warmful.
Brian,
a bit of interference.
So it must be strange driving a deserted coach about.
Oh no, I'm used to seeing a lot of empty seats.
That's very good, Brian, because you're the Manchester City coach driver. That's funny, that. so Brian. Do you drive anything else other than coaches?
I drive my bloody wife crazy talking about Manchester City all day. I go in and I say, "Oh, are you praying to Jesus?" And she says, "Yes." And I say, "Gabriel Jesus, the forward for Manchester City." <That's good. laughs>
What else do you say, man?
Brian, what else do you have to drive as the Man City coach?
Well, I don't know if you know this, but I've been driving some escorts around for Kyle Walker.
Oh, what model are they?
Well, I think one's a blonde, one's a brunette.
okay, Brian, yeah, I see what you've done there.
Well, funny, with a name like Walker, you'd assume they'd be walking to his, wouldn't you?
yeah, that's good. Seems like you've prepared quite a lot for this interview. Brian, of course, an incident happened a couple of years ago. When the Manchester City coach was attacked, you were driving.
I don't know if
you were driving in Liverpool, weren't you?
Yeah, I was, and you know, somebody threw a couple of bottles at the bus. But funny enough, I haven't seen that much of a bottle job since Gerrard slipped in Anfield.
that's very good.
So, yeah,
you said that at the time, did you?
Well, yeah, I said that. I've actually got a recording here, if you want to listen.
Oh, yeah.
I was very lucky to have my phone on at the time. I was talking to my wife, and then I decided to talk to some of the boys in the back. What the fuck? Just so you know, I'm not a technical advisor, I'm a bus driver.
What's going on?
As many buttons on the bus. There's just a big stick that I push, and I kick things with my feet.
I miss Zoe Diak.
What other stuff do you do, Brian?
Don't ask questions, Dave. Brian, I think you've left the handbrake off your coach.
I need to get it.
Okay, bye.
How do you think that went, Brian?
I don't think my kids are going to be that happy.
How many kids have you got, Brian?
I've got three wee nippers. I've got one called David Silver, one called Phil Fodden, and one called Gabriel Jesus.
How named them after.
Well,
how old are they, Brian?
One's 37, one's 56, the other one's only 2 weeks old.
And they're all waiting in the room, are they, next door?
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Yes, yes, they're all waiting for me. They've got their snacks.
Go and see them, Brian. Go and see your kids.
It'd be rude to keep them waiting any longer, Brian.
They could be starving, bless them.
Yeah.
They know how to feed themselves. All right, bye.
Yeah, bye, Brian.
Bye, Brian.
So thank you to Brian Dobbins there.
There.
Well done, Brian.
He sadly died in a car crash of an interview. he probably was. Could we have some Tom Looney?
Yeah, sure.
Because I want to bring some insanity to this place.
Some joy.
Okay.
I want to drink some beer as you do.
Oh, please.
You kook.
Oh, I've got an outrageous Tim Looney this week.
Tom Looney, when you're not windmilling your cock, what are you up to?
Oh, well, this week I've been trawling through the archives for some outrageous sporting stories. Can you tell me, everyone, who you think holds the record for the world's longest golf putt?
Is it Brian Dobbins?
Stephen Merchant.
I'd guess Phil Mickelson.
Bobby Flay.
Tiger Woods.
The answer, which may surprise you, is Sir Terry Wogan. he set the record. It was a 100-foot golf putt in 1981 at Glen Eagles in a celebrity TV show.
Wow.
And in that, listen,
how's nobody beaten that?
Longest putt in recorded history of the sport.
Jesus Christ.
That's loony.
Is that
insane.
He got knighted for that, didn't he?
Quite, well, he is a keen golfer. I think it was one of them.
He's dead.
He was a keen golfer. May he rest in peace. Moving on, some national anthem fun.
He's now 6 under.
In the 1952 Olympics, Luxembourg won a gold medal, which was so unexpected, the band didn't know the national anthem and instead had to improvise.
It's Uptown Funk.
And even better, in 2012, Maria Dmytrenko of Kazakhstan won a gold medal at the Arab Shooting Championships.
Oh, no.
And the organisers accidentally played the Borat version. Among other things, the anthem asserts that other countries are run by little girls and have inferior potassium. Miss Dmytrenko listened expressionless as the song praised Kazakhstan's prostitutes for being the cleanest in the region. Except, of course, for Turkmenistan.
Oh, God.
Kuwait's embarrassment might have been eased slightly by the knowledge that a few days earlier in Kazakhstan, officials at a skiing event accidentally played Ricky Martin's Living La Vida Loca instead of the Kazakh anthem.
What a national anthem that is.
Oh, wow.
Outrageous. Here's another one. The grass at Wimbledon used to be 2 inches long. That was until 1949 when a tennis player was bitten by a snake.
God.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
What, in Wimbledon?
Yeah.
No way. That's
probably where the sounds came from.
That's insane.
This is my favourite. I don't know if it's just my imagination. But the first ever Super Bowl halftime show featured two men flying around with jetpacks. The spectacle was witnessed by 60,000 people and 50 million watching at home. I'm just imagining something really amateurish. Two blokes making their own sound effects.
Just one more. Yeah.
What else have we got?
I can imagine that boardroom for the Super Bowl half time show where they're just pitching ideas. You just got this brash American going, jetpacks.
Fireworks and jetpacks. I'd watch that.
I would.
I don't tune in for Beyonce. That'd be
I'd watch Beyonce in a jetpack just floating around.
Well, Lady Gaga did it now, didn't she? She not jetpacks, but she came flying in from the sky for hers the other year. And the Simpsons have predicted she'd do that.
Well,
maybe she did it in homage. I don't know. homage? I've just noticed Homarge is a combination
Homer and Marge.
Of
Marge.
Homer.
Only in Tim Looney.
Tim Looney.
My own name. What's wrong with me?
I can't believe my discovery's been swept away by Tim Looney.
This is a fun little story about the 1904 Olympic marathon. So the 1904 Olympic marathon was initially won by Fred Laws, but he was disqualified after it was revealed that he travelled 18 kilometres of the race by car. The real winner was Tom Hicks, although it later emerged that he'd been taking performance-enhancing drugs. And Anderin Carvajal, a Cuban postman, completed it in his street clothes. During the race, he stopped in an orchid where he accidentally ate some rotten fruit and had to take a nap to recover. Even so, he came in fourth. Another runner named Len Tao was the first black African to compete in the Olympics. He finished ninth, but with good reason. He ran 2 kilometres off course because he was chased by wild dogs.
Jesus.
Oh, wacky races.
Yeah, that's good. Well done to Tom Looney.
Yeah, Tom Looney. Well done.
I joke, Tom Looney.
I don't know what got into me.
I only realised the other week that Cool Runnings is based on a true story. Did you know that?
Yeah. The bobsleighing thing.
The footage that they use in the film of the sled going crashing is taken from the actual thing.
Emotional.
Yeah.
Guys,
great film.
Before we ever put it to the books, little question for you.
Go on.
If you could take part or be the person in any sporting event ever, what would you do? What would you be?
Oh.
You'd be Usain Bolt breaking the world record.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think I'm not really into athletics, but the 100-meter final is such a world event. Like, and, you know, his performances in that—he must feel pretty on top of the world after that as an individual sport.
Yeah, I think I'll be Sir Terry Wogan.
with your 100-foot golf putter.
Number one.
There's no way he's making this.
Mine would be Rafael Nadal, just so I have a cool name.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Rafael.
But it would just be for a moment.
It would. Yeah. What's your name, Rafael Nadal? God, I feel
good. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at the Nou Camp in '99.
Oh, the semi-final.
The final.
Oh, the final.
Yeah, scoring the winner.
That's, yeah.
It sticks in my mind as Man United. You know, there's been a few late winners in Fergie time, but that one always kind of gives me goosebumps.
Yeah.
Grow up, Tom.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Ooh, Istanbul.
Enough about you.
Max, what about you?
Probably a bit like Eddie Hall, being like the strong man.
I was saying that today. Like
Mike Tyson when he bit the guy's ear off.
Yeah.
Such a famous moment, you know.
Mike Tyson's not dead.
What?
Mike Tyson's not dead, is
he? Who said he was dead?
You.
No, I said
rest in peace.
I said tasty treat.
Rest in peace, tasty treat.
Mike Tasty Treat Tyson.
little boxing story. My granddad beat Jake LaMotta, the Raging Bull, in a boxing match.
You have your words for
probably,
it is. So.
Probably told you that before. Yeah. But it made Jake LaMotta, played by Robert De Niro.
So he beat Robert De Niro.
In an amateur match on a cruise ship between Dublin and New York, he beat him over 3 rounds.
Well, my granddad knew how to control his temper, actually, and didn't throw fists.
And my granddad was the first man on the moon.
Hi, guys.
Fuck off, Dave.
The moon was in pub that he jumped on top of.
He swam there.
What about your sporting moments, Steve?
Thanks, Tom. I would maybe go for, I don't know. Boxing is good. I'd say winning the heavyweight championship. Who did that in a good way? Tyson Fury was boring because he just kept him at a distance. Maybe Tyson Fury beating Deontay Wilder. Yeah. I'd go for that one.
Yeah.
Then singing American Pie in the ring.
What about David Haye beating Nikolai Valuev?
No, that was
the giant.
Yeah, that was very strange.
Yeah.
No, sporting moment would have to be. I always imagine myself. And this is even in my teen years, scoring the winner in a Champions League final. Just as motivation in my head to run faster and distance on that. But of course, that never came to fruition. But should we move on to put it to the max?
Yeah, sure. okay, I've got a thanks for everyone. Got a mass of emails coming in now.
Well done, guys.
After my appeal the other week.
Well done, guys.
Okay. Hi, Max and the gang. Oh, no, that one's rubbish. Get rid of that.
You can't thank them and then slag them.
I've only got 8 minutes. Okay. Sorry, my computer's been slow. Introduce it again.
Unfortunately, that's all we have time for this week. Now it is time for Put It To The Max. Tom, what have you got for us?
Okay, hi, lads. Hope you're all enjoying lockdown as much as you can. Love the podcast. I'm 18 and haven't had any official relationships with anyone besides the odd few things here and there. Loser. I've recently downloaded Tinder, and I'm wondering if there's any advice you can give to spice up my profile and help me get more matches. I know Stephen's quite well trained in the Tinder game, as seen from the Sidemen Tinder video, and Stephen tries less Tinder videos with Max. Any help would be great.
Okay, so do you want to go to Max?
Go on, Max.
Tinder, you know, got to be good looking, first of all. Got to have some sweet banter. To be fair, this is quite a good time for Tinder, I'd imagine, because if everyone's on their phones, locked indoors all day.
I'd say, Max, it's not a good time for Tinder because everyone's just stuck indoors. There's nothing to talk about.
Can't go and meet
Can't meet up.
Well, it's not like we haven't had, you know, he's got 18 years of life experience. If he can't talk about something that he's done in the past,
I just feel like
you can only talk about
it very quickly.
I'd put a photo up of like an animal that you like. So if someone scrolls through it, they'll be like, what the fuck's this doing there?
There's
like
a fucking camel again.
Yeah. Just like as soon as they see it, they're like, there's a koala. Why is there a koala on these things? That gets them thinking. Every time they see the koala, they'll go, oh, do you remember that boy had the koala on his Tinder?
Nope.
What are you talking about?
But for advice, I'd say, all right, that's the wrong one. For advice, just chat, just get the experience of chatting to people, mix it up, see what works, what doesn't. If they're not asking you questions, fuck them off.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's what I'm gonna do with these on the podcast.
Okay, so we got one here from Alex. Hello, I'm in year 12 and I befriended a boy who was really cute, funny, and nice.
I don't know, you know me.
I'm pretty sure he likes me back. He's made multiple comments suggesting that. We hang out every day, and I would like to date him, but there's one problem.
Can I point out this isn't me?
He's short, like really short. I'm 5'7", and he's 5'1". I don't mind people being short, but he looks like he's 11. He's 17.
I think I lost to him in badminton.
Often gets mistaken for a child. I don't want to be viewed as a nonce for dating him. Should I wait for his growth spurt? By the way, I love you all.
Definitely wait for him to spur. So I'm
yeah.
Go on,
it's
Max.
Been like a dwarf special this episode, isn't it?
That's the title.
It's on the sport.
Warren Davis hasn't even got a mention yet. He's
I mean, if he's of age, then surely it's fine. I think you're just being very shallow. If it's short stature is what's putting you off it, then I'd say just don't do it.
Of course, it's fine to be shallow with him because he can still breathe.
I'd say if the stature's putting you off, then that's not going to change unless he wears high heels. But
have any of you dated someone taller than you?
No.
Nope. Not in my illustrious career as a serial dater.
a lot of those models are quite tall, Max. Tom, what do you think of that?
What's that?
The problem you just
the problem. I don't know. It's school.
You're quite lanky, aren't you, Tom? So this hasn't been.
I am. But I'm the shortest problem. One in of my siblings. You know.
You've not dated.
And you date
I'm
the them? Eldest.
So. I don't know. <He's loving that. laughs> Kids can be cruel. kids can be cruel. And, you know, dating someone that's shorter than you, people will tease. But you know, isn't love more important? Shouldn't it conquer?
Love conquers height. That's what I always say.
Yeah. It's a famous phrase, though.
Yeah.
I think if you might regret it if you don't go for it. You know, someone that you liked, it was nice to you, and you got on with, and you know, for shallow reasons, you chose not to seek a relationship.
Look into his parents and see how tall they are.
Yeah.
True.
You know, don't. You might be due a growth spurt.
that's all we have time for this week. Thank you very much for listening and watching. I've been joined by Tom Cooney, David Reese.
Thank you.
Sorry, Dave.
Max
Fuck
Smith.
You, Tom.
Ryan Dobbins.
You clap for him, Tom.
Stay safe, stay indoors, and ciao.
And stay humble.